Okay, so today we're diving into a topic that's tough, but really important. We're going to be talking about support for survivors of sexual violence. And we're focusing specifically on resources for people from different cultural backgrounds who are living in New South Wales, Australia.
It can be so difficult, to kind of figure out how to navigate all of that when you're in a new country. And especially after an experience as traumatic as sexual violence, it's a lot.
Definitely. So for this deep dive, we're primarily going to be looking at this program called We Are Survivors. And as we go through this, this is a sensitive topic. So if anything feels, like too much, please, take a break, pause, and come back when you're ready.
Yes, this is a topic that brings up a lot of emotions. And we want you to feel comfortable throughout this whole deep dive.
Absolutely. Now, this program, it really doesn't shy away from talking about just how much sexual violence can impact a person emotionally. They talk about things like fear and isolation and even potential distrust of authorities after an experience like this.
And it's completely understandable, Imagine being in a situation where you're trying to adjust to a new culture, a new legal system, and then you experience sexual violence. And on top of that, you're worried about, will I be believed? There are so many things to consider.
It makes you feel like maybe I shouldn't report.
And that's a really important point. The program emphasizes that reporting is always a choice. You are never obligated to report, but it's important to know the potential benefits of doing so.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Why might someone choose to come forward? What does the program say about that?
There are several reasons. Some survivors find that reporting brings a sense of personal relief, like they're formally acknowledging what happened, and it helps them to process it. For others, it's about seeking justice, holding the perpetrator accountable. And sometimes it's about protecting themselves or other people from future
They
harm.
even talk about how it's so important to report if children are at risk.
Yeah, because reporting suspected abuse can be a critical step in protecting a child's safety.
Makes sense.
And they give a good example of how reporting can lead to actual protection. Apprehended violence orders, or AVOs, these orders can help create a buffer zone between the survivor and the perpetrator.
So it's not just about getting someone in trouble. It's also about getting support, regaining control, and preventing harm. That can be really empowering,
Absolutely. The
right, Ben?
program really emphasizes that. So let's talk about the process itself. It can seem overwhelming, but they do a good job of breaking it down into clear steps.
Okay, well, the first step, and I feel like this is super important, even before deciding to report, is getting support.
And the program emphasizes that support is available at any stage,
Okay.
whether or not you report.
Got it.
They talk about the New South Wales Sexual Violence Helpline. It's a great resource.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through this alone.
Yeah.
And remember, you can also have a friend or family member there to support you.
Now, they also mentioned that it can be helpful to gather information before you report, things like dates and times, details about the perpetrator, anything you remember. Having all that organized can make the process a lot smoother.
And it's really important to stress that there are no time limits on reporting sexual violence.
Oh, wow.
Even if the experience happened years ago, you can still get support and look at your options.
That's good to know. So let's say someone has decided, okay, I'm going to report this. What are the different ways that they can do that?
Going to a police station is one option, but the program acknowledges that that can be intimidating, especially if you've had negative experiences with police before, or if you're new to the country and not sure how things work. But there's also something called the sexual assault reporting option.
Okay, that sounds interesting. How does that work?
It's kind of like, okay, imagine you have a very valuable piece of jewelry and you want to keep it safe. You could keep it at home, but you're worried about it being stolen, or you could put it in a safe deposit box at a bank. So the bank is holding on to it for you. It's documented and protected, but you still have access to it whenever you need it. That's kind of like the sexual assault reporting option.
So you can give the information to the police, but not immediately start a full investigation.
It's documented, which can be helpful later on, but you're not required to take legal action right away.
So you kind of have a record of it, but you don't feel pressured.
And it's important to remember that even if you do make a formal report, you're still in control. You can decide to withdraw at any point.
It sounds like they've really thought about all the different barriers that survivors might face. and they've tried to create options that are safe and accessible.
Definitely.
They even mention how important it is to have interpreters and translators available for free.
Right. And they encourage survivors to ask for a police officer that they feel comfortable with, including multicultural liaison officers or LGBTIQA plus liaison officers.
So it's all about making it as supportive as possible.
Exactly.
That's impressive. Now, what if the sexual violence happened outside of Australia? I imagine that's a lot more complicated.
Yeah, you're right. The program specifically addresses that.
Okay.
And it recommends that you contact the local police in Australia. Mm. They can help you figure out your options.
Okay.
Which might include reporting to the authorities in the country where it happened.
So even in those complex situations, there are still steps you can take.
Yes.
And there are people who can help guide you.
That's the most important thing to remember.
Right.
You're not alone.
This has been so helpful, and I feel like I'm already starting to get a much better understanding of the support systems that are available.
Yeah. It's a lot to take in. And there's still more to explore.
Right.
Next time, we'll talk about the specific needs of people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds and the unique challenges they face.
Okay.
Also talk about all the different kinds of support services that are available here in New South Wales.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So welcome back to our deep dive on supporting survivors of sexual violence from diverse cultural backgrounds here in New South Wales.
Last time we were talking about the emotional impact of sexual violence and all the complexities around reporting it, especially when you're also trying to navigate a new culture and legal system.
Right.
And this program, it really highlights how important it is to have support services that are available, but also culturally sensitive.
It's not as simple as just having interpreters, right? It's about having a deeper understanding.
Yeah, you have to recognize all the different cultural nuances that might affect how a survivor experiences things and how they feel about reaching out for help.
Like, for instance, I imagine in some cultures where maybe it's taboo to even talk about sexual violence, it can be even harder to open up about what happened.
Exactly. And they might be worried about bringing shame on their family, especially if the person who harmed them is someone they know.
Or what about concerns around their visa status?
Yeah.
Especially if they're here on a temporary visa.
All valid concerns. And the program addresses this directly. It makes it very clear that support services are available regardless of your visa status, and that confidentiality is a top priority.
So it's all about creating a safe space where survivors feel comfortable sharing their story and making choices that feel right for them. What kind of specific services are there in New South Wales that take these cultural factors into account?
Well, besides the sexual violence helpline we talked about before, there are a number of organizations that offer support tailored to specific cultural groups. So, you know, there are services for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, refugees, and a whole range of multicultural groups.
Wow. So having those targeted resources, I imagine that makes a huge difference. It's about meeting people where they are, not just geographically, but also in terms of their background.
Right. And these organizations, they do so much more than just provide crisis support.
Oh, okay.
They also offer counseling, legal advocacy, help with housing and employment. They even have educational workshops on things like healthy relationships and consent.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's really a holistic approach, right? Recognizing that healing takes time and it takes support.
Okay.
It's not just about surviving. It's about thriving.
Exactly.
Now, the program is very honest about the fact that even with all these efforts, there are still challenges in addressing sexual violence in these culturally and linguistically diverse communities.
That's true.
Like, what kind of challenges are we talking about?
Well, for one, people might not even know that these services exist, especially if they've just arrived.
Right.
Language barriers can be a big obstacle, too. And there's sometimes a distrust of authorities.
Yeah.
Maybe because of bad experiences in their home countries.
And then there's the cultural stigma we talked about before that makes it really hard for some survivors to come forward.
Exactly. So to really tackle these challenges, it takes everyone working together.
Okay.
So we need service providers, community leaders, and government agencies all collaborating to build trust, raise awareness, and make sure that services are designed to meet everyone's needs.
So it sounds like there's a lot of good work being done, but there's always more to do. Are there any successes that the program highlights?
Definitely. One really positive trend is that more men are getting involved.
That's great.
Yeah, there's a growing awareness that men have a big role to play in preventing sexual violence and supporting survivors.
That's really encouraging to hear.
And, you know, another area of progress that's highlighted in the program is storytelling.
Okay.
When survivors from diverse backgrounds share their stories, it really helps. It breaks down the stigma. It helps people understand. And it encourages others to get help.
It's so powerful to be vulnerable like that. Because sharing those stories shows that healing is possible.
Hmm.
And that people are not alone.
Absolutely. And we're also seeing a lot of progress in understanding the specific needs of LGBTQIA plus individuals from diverse cultural backgrounds.
Yeah, that's such an important group to consider.
Yeah.
Because they might be dealing with even more stigma and discrimination.
Exactly. And the program talks about the need for services that are inclusive and affirming, and for culturally sensitive education about gender identity and sexual orientation.
It all comes back to that core message
of
empowerment, right?
Yeah.
Giving people the knowledge, the resources, the support they need.
Right.
To navigate their own healing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of resources, we haven't even talked about the online part of this program. I think this is where it gets really exciting.
Yeah. Think of it as a one-stop shop.
Okay.
It has information, support, connection, all available online.
Hmm.
And the best part is it's in multiple languages.
Oh, wow.
So it's easier for people to find what they need in a way that feels comfortable for them.
That's incredible. So even if someone's not ready to report or to contact an organization, they can still get information and support online. Anonymously.
Exactly. And it's available 24/7.
Which is important.
Yeah, because some people might be uncomfortable reaching out during regular business hours.
It really feels like they've thought of everything to make this program easy to use and accessible. This has been so informative. And I feel like we've only scratched the surface. There's so much more to learn about how to support survivors from different backgrounds.
It is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's one more really important thing we need to talk about. The role that communities play in supporting survivors and preventing violence.
It feels like we've been building to this
this
whole time, right? We've talked about individual experiences and about support systems, but the idea of community really brings everything together.
It does. And this program, We Are Survivors, it really emphasizes that creating a supportive environment takes more than just individual action.
Okay.
It requires communities themselves to change the way they think and act.
So it's not just about knowing where to get help. It's about creating a culture where sexual violence isn't accepted and where survivors are believed and supported.
Exactly. And this can be particularly complex in diverse communities where traditional values and norms sometimes clash with the need to be open about sexual violence.
I can see that. Like in some cultures, family unity might be highly valued, and that might make it really hard to speak up about abuse that happens within families.
That's a big challenge. And in some communities, there might be a reluctance to get the authorities involved, maybe because of past negative experiences with law enforcement or just a general distrust of systems.
So how do we deal with these complexities?
Yeah.
How do we encourage those open conversations while still respecting cultural sensitivities?
Well, it starts with education.
Right.
And raising awareness within these communities.
Right.
And that means working with community leaders, religious figures, elders, anyone who people listen to promote healthy relationships, challenge harmful beliefs, and create safe spaces for people to talk.
It's about finding that balance, isn't it? Respecting cultural values while also pushing back against harmful practices that can lead to violence.
You got it. It's not about imposing outside values. It's about giving communities the power to address these issues themselves using language and approaches that make sense to them.
And I think this is where that online platform we talked about could be really powerful.
Definitely.
Because it's in multiple languages and it's tailored to different cultural backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It allows people to access information
and
resources on their own without having to reveal who they are.
And it can help people connect with others who've had similar experiences so they don't feel so alone.
Now, even though all of these systemic and community-level efforts are so important, the program also recognizes that individuals can make a difference, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what can we do as individuals? Where do we even begin? So welcome back to our deep dive into supporting survivors of sexual violence, especially those from diverse cultural backgrounds here in New South Wales. You know, we've already talked about how trauma impacts people and the whole process of reporting these crimes. And it's clear that culturally sensitive services are so important.
Yeah. And we touched on how crucial it is for these services to not just be available, but also to be specifically designed for people from different cultural backgrounds, right?
Yeah.
But there's one really big piece of the puzzle we haven't gotten to yet, and that's the community itself.
Yeah, it does feel like everything we've talked about is leading up to this. We've covered individual stories and those big systems of support, but bringing in the community is what ties everything together.
Absolutely. And the program, We Are Survivors, really hammers home that creating a supportive environment goes way beyond just individual actions. It takes a real shift in how communities think and behave.
Right, so it's not just about knowing where to go for help. It's about building a culture where sexual violence is completely unacceptable and survivors are believed and supported right away.
Exactly. And this can be super complicated in diverse communities. Sometimes those traditional values and cultural norms can clash with the need to be open about sexual violence.
I can see that. Like, some cultures put a huge emphasis on family staying together, and that might make it really hard to talk about abuse when it's happening within the family.
That's a real obstacle, for sure. And sometimes there's a reluctance to involve the police, maybe because of bad experiences with law enforcement back in their home countries, or just a general distrust of the system here.
So then how do we handle these situations? How can we get people talking openly about sexual violence while still respecting those cultural sensitivities?
It really begins with education and awareness within those communities. That means working with people who have influence, community leaders, religious figures, elders, anyone who people listen to. We need them to promote healthy relationships, challenge harmful beliefs, and open up those safe spaces where people can talk.
So it's like walking this tightrope.
Right.
Respecting their values, but also pushing back against those harmful practices that just keep the cycle of violence going.
Exactly. It's not about forcing outside values on anyone. It's about giving communities the power to deal with these issues in their own way, using language and approaches that make sense for them.
And that's where I see that online platform we were talking about before coming in, right?
Absolutely. Because it's available in so many languages and designed for different cultural backgrounds, people can get information and support discreetly on their own time in a way that feels safe.
And they can find other people who've been through similar things, right? It can help them connect and not feel so alone.
Now, as crucial as all these big system-wide and community-level changes are, the program also reminds us that every single person can make a difference.
So where do we start? What can we do as individuals?
A good place to start is by learning about sexual violence, what it is, how it impacts people, and what resources are out there for survivors. And when you hear those harmful jokes or stereotypes, don't let them slide. Speak up, challenge them. And if you see someone behaving abusively or disrespectfully, step in.
Be an active bystander. Right? Don't just ignore it. Make it clear that this stuff isn't okay.
Exactly. And if someone trusts you enough to share their experience with you, listen without judgment, believe them, and offer your support. If they want to get help, help them find it.
Just that act of believing someone, of letting them know you're there for them, that can make such a difference.
It really can. And lastly, remember that supporting survivors isn't just about reacting after something bad happens. It's about promoting respect and consent every day in every interaction we have.
So it's like setting an example, right? Mm-hmm. Showing people what healthy relationships look like, challenging those attitudes that can lead to harm, building a culture where everyone feels safe and valued.
That's the goal. And while we've been talking about New South Wales, these ideas apply everywhere. Getting rid of sexual violence requires a global effort, one community, one conversation, one person taking action at a time.
This deep dive has been so insightful, and it's really opened my eyes to how complex this issue is, especially when we're talking about supporting survivors from different cultural backgrounds.
It is complex, but there's hope for change. If we work together, we can build communities where everyone feels safe and supported, and where speaking out against sexual violence is the norm.
If you want to learn more about the We Are Survivors program, or find resources for yourself or someone you know, go to wearesurvivors.online. Remember, healing is possible, and you're not alone.
Thanks for joining us for this conversation. We hope this deep dive gave you a better understanding of this crucial issue and inspired you to play a part in creating a world that's safer and more just for everyone.